Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So I'd just like to unpack a bit this amazing day for the church where we are entering this week that celebrates the work of Christ on earth, and especially when you look at the Gospel of John, there's a strong emphasis on the last week of the life of Jesus. And I like what it says in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, talking about Palm Sunday. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, the King is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. And so you look in the book of Zechariah, he prophesy the coming of Jesus when it comes to entering the city. And we know why Jesus went to Jerusalem. It was to lay his life down. And when we look at Passover, Jesus was going to this celebration or this festival called Passover that emphasized on the deliverance of the people from the Egyptians. And what they were called to do, if you go back to that moment in Exodus chapter 12, what the Israelites were called to do was to kill a lamb and take the blood of the lamb and put it on the post of the doorpost, and at the same time eat the lamb roasted standing up. That refers to their deliverance that was at hand. And what happened is that the angel of the Lord passed through Egypt, and that was the last plague of Egypt, where Pharaoh didn't want to let the people go. And the story goes that God was going to take the life of the first male born. And so when the angel of the Lord passed by, when he saw the blood on the door of the Israelites, he passed over, and they were not judged by God. So when it comes to Passover, it refers to the deliverance of God when it comes to leading his people out of Egypt, but also it was a symbolic message of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so when you look at the gospel in the New Testament, we find Jesus as the Lamb of God, that if you have blood on your post, when judgment comes, there you'll be spared. And this is the message of salvation, right? That if you say yes to Jesus in your life, when judgment comes, there's the judgment of God doesn't hit you because you're covered by the blood or you're found in Jesus. And if you look at John chapter 1 verse 29, it talks about John the Baptist. We see John saying, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he knew that Jesus was going to be the one that would lay his life down, and because of his sacrifice, then his people, the Israelites and also the Gentiles, would be spared from the judgment of God. And there's a picture of that in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I'd like to start my message from this text. And as we go to the main text of Matthew 21, verse 6. But just take a look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "And I look and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, and saying with a loud voice." Can you tell your neighbor, can you say to your neighbor, loud voice, loud voice? With a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb," or they said, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," talking about Jesus, "to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." What a picture, right, of heaven, where we see everyone in heaven worshiping the Lord, celebrating the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so when we look at Palm Sunday, we see a glimpse of what Jesus is going to do as he enters Jerusalem. And if you have your Bible, take a look at Matthew 21, verse 6. The snapshot of Jesus entering Jerusalem. And actually, we can find this story in the four Gospels. It says the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those followed. So there's people in front and there's people behind. And what they're shouting, they are shouting, "Hosanna, son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When we look at this, we can see the place of worship or celebration. And I'd like to talk about this topic this morning. One of the topics that we're always called to grow in. And it's to grow in our calling and grow in our mission. Like we heard earlier through Brenton that our call is to go and make disciples of every nation. And our goal is to share this beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of God expressed through the Son. And that's the mandate of the church. But also when it comes to this, one of the mandates that we have is to live a life of worship, to acknowledge what happened, and to be taken by the fact that the Son of God loved us so much and the Father loved us so much that the plan was to restore us to Him. And I believe that should promote and stir up worship in our hearts. Would you agree? When we think about what the Lord has done, like I look at them, they were rejoicing over the miracles that they saw Jesus perform. And they were pumped to see what Jesus was doing and what Jesus had done. And for us, a little further on this road of life, we can see a bigger picture. And I believe that should stir up a heart of praise in a heart of worship. The question is, where would I be without Him? Where would I be without Him? Like, I'm a first generation. I look at my parents, I look at my siblings. Jesus came through the Holy Spirit and revealed Himself to our home. We would have, I don't know how our family would look, but it would definitely not look like it is now because of the stamp and because of the seal of God upon our lives. It's amazing what God has done for us, right? And sometimes we journey and sometimes we forget about that. And we don't want to forget this amazing price that was paid for our freedom, for our liberty, and that we would just do life and not having a heart of worship or a culture of worship. And so when I look at this story, I don't know, it just stirs my heart to worship God. It really talks about the why of we worship. And the reason why we worship is because Jesus entered Jerusalem and because He loved us so much. And what I'd like to talk about this morning is three different responses that we can have when it comes to our worship, and three responses that the disciples had when Jesus entered Jerusalem. The first thing they did, or one of the things they did, is that they extended palm branches on the ground and waved them in honor of Jesus. We find that in Matthew 21, verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of Him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. It was an act of celebration for what Jesus has done. Like I said a while ago in Luke 19, verse 37, when He came near the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God. Can you say to your neighbor, joyfully? In a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. And so they responded with praise for what they saw. And I think it's important for us to respond to God in this way. The reality is that it's bigger than our moment. And I know there's some, when it comes to life, it's not always easy. And there's some of you that right now, you're facing challenges, and it might be family related, it might be health related, it might be financial related, and we go through stuff. But one of the things that we're called to do is to step back and look at the grand story that we find in Scripture. Because what happened is that we are caught in the moment, and sometimes we forget this amazing grand story that you find starting in the book of Genesis, where God initiated a plan of redemption to save us. Because we know that as we journey on this planet, if we had a ruler from west to east of a nation, it would be one little line, 1 centimeter in this ruler of life. And we're called to remind ourselves of how blessed we are to know Jesus. And how at the same time we have this mandate to make Him known, right? But it's important for us to realize that one of the primary call that we have upon our lives is to celebrate his name and to worship him and to give him glory, to give glory to the Ancient of Days, to give glory to the Alpha and the Omega, to the Redeemer, to the one that sustained everything. And so I believe this is the first calling, one of the primary call that we have. It's to celebrate who Jesus is. My response should be one of praise. And when you looked at the Psalms, how many of you like to read the Psalms? Eh? It's kind of, you go to a Psalm, like you're going through a rough time. Sometimes you stop your weekly reading just to go to the Psalms, right? Because we find ourselves there. We find God as a refuge, our strength, that we can go and come under his wings. And it's we see David and all the other writers expressing the fruits of going in his presence. And in Psalm 105, verse 1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done," right? And I look at them, they haven't even seen Jesus, the Lamb of God. It says, "Sing to him, yes, sing to him. Sing his praise. Tell everyone about his wonderful deed. Exult in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord." You see, we have this calling to worship the Lord. And I don't know, I think about the Jewish people. What I know, I've been to Israel once, and what I heard is that they like to party. They're noisy. Like, I don't know if I should. I'll take a risk here. Like, I remember hearing this song, la 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 la. Hey, how many of you felt like dancing? Come on, right? And they have the tambourine, and they're just celebrating. When you think about a wedding was for a week, right? Party, celebrating. And when you look at the Israelite, worship was in their DNA. It was. We see Miriam dancing, rejoicing as the people walk through the Red Sea. And worship is part of their DNA, because I believe that's the DNA of heaven. I'd like to unpack that in a moment. But I really believe that we're called to worship the Lord. And worship and praise is a verb. It's an action. It's something that we do. Worship is not a style, but it's our response to God. It's not a style. You got so many different styles, so many expressions. But really what worship is simply a response to God. When we think about what the Lord has done, when we look at our own journey, as we respond to him, and we're caught up with him, and we verbalize, express, and from our hearts our gratitude and our love for God. And I look at Romans chapter 15, it talks about us. He also came so that the Gentile might give glory to God for his mercies to them. So God came to reach the Gentile that I am, so that I might give glory to God for his mercies. Then it says, that is what the psalmist means when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will praise you. I will sing praises to your name." So he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles worshiping the Lord. And in another place it's written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentile." Verse 11, "And yet again, praise the Lord, all you Gentile. Praise him, all the people of the earth." So we have this call, this invitation to worship the Lord. And it's beyond culture. Worship is not a culture expression. It's a heaven expression. We all have a culture. Some of us, different culture. And the more we're seeing our community grow, we can see more and more culture. But we're not called to worship God according to our culture. We're called to worship God from the culture of heaven. Because when you gave your life to the Lord, I think we know that, is that your citizenship has changed. You have a passport. and your passport is from heaven. Maybe in your past culture, you used to worship God with your hands in your pocket. Maybe in your past culture, you were not able to express yourself with your heart or with your mouth, or you were not able to let from your heart words come out of your mouth. Maybe that's your past culture, but now your citizenship is from heaven, and the culture that we have is a heavenly culture. Would you agree? That makes sense, right? Because we were dead, now we're alive. We have a new name. We are born again in the culture of heaven. And we're called to live according to his kingdom. But I believe when it comes to praise and worship, it's to live according to the culture of heaven. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed with white robes and held palm branches, like on Palm Sunday, in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar. Can you say that to your neighbor? Great roar. And what they were shouting is, salvation comes from our God who sits upon the throne and from the Lamb. That's the culture of heaven. We don't want to create a box. Listen to me well. We're not called to create another culture. We're called to imitate, or we're called to embrace the culture of heaven. And the culture of heaven is praise and worship, because that's going to be heaven. And the reason, when it comes to that, it's way more than singing. It's your heart condition. And I'd like to unpack that this morning. And worship is not about me, but it's about him. And to see the culture of heaven be on earth. The second response that we see from the disciple in the story of Palm Sunday is that they laid their garments at his feet. We have this snapshot in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13 of King Jehu, where then they quickly spread out their cloaks on the bare steps and blew the ram's horn, shouting, "Jehu is king." So it was typical in that day, when you honored authority, that you would put your garment down. It was a symbol of submission. It was a symbol of surrender. You're my king. And I think this is the posture when it comes to worship. First, it's to acknowledge, celebrate him, and be grateful for what he has done. Secondly, it's an act, it's a posture of surrender, of adoration. So it's way more than just being loud. It's the condition of your heart. It's a posture of adoration. And we find that in Psalm 95, verse 6. "Come and let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Let us, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." And so what we do, we respond. Like, worship is way more than words, right? It's my heart condition. Worship is not about performance. It's about posture. Can you tell your neighbor, it's about posture? It's the posture of my heart. I think this is so important. How do I approach God? Like, I'd like to give you a few examples of posture. Humility is a posture. "I need you, Lord. I'm yours." Gratitude is a posture. "Thank you for what you've done, Lord." Surrender is a posture. "Not my will, but yours." Letting go of control and trusting him. Awe and reverence is a posture, where you are all holy and I honor you. Faith is a posture. "I trust in you even when I don't understand." Brokenness is a posture. I will bring you my best, Lord. In my context, I will trust you. Obedience is a posture. "I will follow you. My life is a life of worship." Love is a posture. "I'm here because I love you, not because of ritual and show." Also, pride is a posture. I'll do it my way. Self-righteousness is a posture. I'm better than others. Bitterness is a posture. I'm still holding on offenses. I've got grudges. Performance is a posture, where you want to be looked at. You want to look spiritual. Shame is a posture, where I don't belong here. It's you're hiding from God instead of coming to God. Posture really matters. It's my heart condition. And there's a difference between humility and pride when it comes to posture, right? Someone that's prideful, God resists. Someone that is humble, God embraces. So God, what we are called to understand when it comes to worship, it's posture. It's my heart condition. It's way more than making noise. It's a condition of my heart, my inclination. And it doesn't talk about performance. It doesn't talk about how beautiful your singing is. It's your heart condition. It's a surrender. It's a position that is surrendered. Like, it's not about perfect lives. It's not about perfect voice or beautiful voice. It's about having a surrendered posture. And all of us, we can have a surrendered posture. So that's the heart of worship, is we acknowledge who he is, seeing him as the king. First, acknowledge what he has done. And when it comes to salvation and his grace and his faithfulness, wow, what to add to that? Secondly, it's to put my coat at his feet and realize that he's the king. And my posture is to adore him. My posture is to acknowledge him. My posture is to submit, surrender, let go, and just bend in his presence. That's the heart of worship, people. And the mandate that we have as believers, it's to worship God for what he has done, but also for who he is. You still with me? So posture really, really matters. And God responds to posture. Listen. God responds to posture. You might be a prodigal son wanting to come home. God responds to posture. When you come with brokenness, with honesty, with sincerity, with simplicity, God honors posture. If I come before God with pride, with self-righteousness, it will prevent me of entering in, or it will prevent me of doing what I'm called to do, is to give glory to God. One of the famous examples of that is the tax collector in the temple, right? Posture. He's in the temple, and he's beating his chest, and he says, "Forgive my sins, Lord." And then you have the Pharisees that looks down and says, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like him." But there's only one that came out of the presence of God justified. It was not the Pharisee. It was a tax collector because of the positioning of his heart. And when you have a heart like that, that is inclined, that is tender, that says, "God, you see my lack, you see my mistake, but I want you in my life. I desire you in my life. Come to rescue me." Sincerity, when you call upon God from your inner person, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter where you're from, God responds to that. But God resists the pride. Proud. I look at the other guy, the other son in the story of the prodigal son, that he is unhappy to see his son, his brother come back. He doesn't understand why the father is celebrating his brother. It's because he's just blind to the father's love. He's missing out on who God is. And so it's very important to realize that my posture is huge. And God wants to, and God will respond to my posture. We have this example in Isaiah 29, verse 13. And so the Lord says, "These people say they are mine. They say, yeah, we are yours, Lord. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules taught by men." And so I need to involve my heart. I need to have this raw approach to God. You know, one of the things that we wanted to do as a church is not to be polished, but to be raw. When we do ministry, one of the things that it's not our value, but it's part of our DNA, it's to be raw. Not to play the game, not to have a focus on the exterior, but to be real. Because we know that when we're real in our situation, whatever situation it is, this is where God intervenes. And the last thing is to create a culture of show and a culture of not being real. And so of being politically correct. What we want is the raw approach to God. Look what it says in Psalm 51, verse 17. "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken, repentant heart, O God." But religion will say the opposite. This is why, this is the heart of worship. is that we come before God in our brokenness, wherever we are, and we acknowledge Him, and we give Him glory. We turn to Him in our simplicity, and God responds, right? Wow, we want to see that. The third response that we see in the text is that they express their passion for and to Jesus. Look what it says in Luke chapter 19, verse 37. It says, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It wasn't silent and formal. It was heartfelt and bold, right? How many of you, you're following the Jets, right? Some of you? Well, not that many. How many of you are following the Habs? I don't know. We'll give it a try. Maybe a few. I don't know. We look at what we are celebrating or what we love, and there's so much for us to celebrate Jesus, man. It shouldn't be silent. It shouldn't be formal. Like, when we have birthday parties at our house, it's not silent. It's not formal. We will sing in French, happy birthday, and then we will sing, c'est à ton tour de te laisser parler d'amour. It's your turn. It's your time. It is your turn now to receive love. And we're loud, and we're like, my granddaughter is looking around. These are crazy people. And we're just loud and celebrating. We're singing. We're celebrating the person that is its birthday. We have a balloon for that person on that chair. It's we celebrate that person. You know, that's what we do in life. Let's do it for Jesus. He's so awesome. He's so worthy. Like, it's not called to be formal and silent. It's called to be heartfelt and bold, where it's loud, where we worship God, not to create a style, but because of the expression of our hearts, because of what's happening inside, it bubbles out, right? Again, like I said earlier, where would I be without Him? Man, come on, Claude. Let it rip. You're so amazing, God. You're so beautiful. Even when it comes to my circumstances and the challenges I face, I know the end of the book. I know the end of the book. I know Christ is coming back. I don't do it to seek attention. And I believe the disciples, when they were worshiping or celebrating Jesus, they were not seeking for attention. They were looking at Jesus for who He was. He was healing people. He was going to Jerusalem. They didn't even see the full picture. It's about being free for Him because He's worth it. Being free for Him. Sometimes we talk about being free for ourselves. Yeah, God wants to free me, but it's to be free for Him. How many of you, you need to be free for Him? How many of you, you're caught in your past culture? Your past culture still defines you, but your culture is from heaven. There needs to be a change. I challenge you to step out because it's your decision. To step out and to be a people of worship, not just here, but in your car, in your life, that you embrace worship as one of your calling, to say, God, I was placed on earth to give You glory because I will continue that in heaven, right? It's all about posture. I remember many years ago, I was about 23 years old, or 22, and I was an assistant pastor. And I was leading a Bible study of elderly French people, under 20. And so my goal was to lead them in singing, and it was horrible. Like, the sound and the voices, it was horrible. I don't have too much of a good ear when it comes to music, but that I got, it was like, oh, rah, rah, everywhere. It was horrible. No instrument, it was just a cappella. And wow, if someone would have came in, they would have said how awful it was. But it wasn't. Because the posture of these people were worshiping God. We were in the main auditorium among the chairs, and there was a big circle, and they started to praise God. And the presence of God was so thick. Even though there was nothing in the front, no projector, nothing, it was just like, it was off key. But God showed up because of the posture of the hearts. When we have this posture of worshiping God, something happens. You know, something happens for us, but at the same time, we're fulfilling God's calling. Because the calling that I have is to give Him praise and worship. So it doesn't matter the environment. It's to have this culture of heaven when we worship God. It's all about posture. It's all about your attitude. You know, you might come here this morning and say, you know, I didn't really like the worship. Well, it's not called to like it because it's not for you. It's for Him. So whatever happens on the stage is to encourage you to worship God. But it should not be, we are trying to influence or to lead in worship. But really, it's your response to God. It really is, right? If you would have came in that circle of 20-ish elderly ministry or small group, you would have said, well, that's not a good culture. I don't like this. Well, you would have missed out on God. Because that's a culture of heaven when we incline ourselves, when we have this posture of worship. I want to finish off with this verse. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, therefore, let us continually, can you say to your neighbor, continually? Continually. So you see, that's our calling. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifices, you bring it to God. Like the image of sacrifice is offering. You offer to God your praises continually, not just here. It's a life of worship where we understand. And this is where I want to sow to you in your heart this morning. The culture of heaven is worship. And we are not from this world. And so we should embrace a culture of worship when we do life. And I know that's not always easy. But this is where David says, may my soul bless the Lord. I'm called to give glory to God, so I will. And I believe there's a change that happens inside of us when we do that. There's a release. And this is where we see Him beyond today and right now. But this is a call. Therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that confess His name. It's His name. You lift Him up, right? God, You're the Ancient of Days. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You are the Living One. You are the Resurrected One. Your throne is higher, God. There's no one that compares to You. You're the God of gods. And you just express His name and you worship Him. That's why I'm here. This is what we do as a church. We worship and confess His name, declaring, lifting up His name, how faithful, how beautiful, how great He is. Then you have Luke chapter 19, verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, He replied, if they keep silence, the stone will cry out. It's too much of, the event is too big here. It says in the book of Ezekiel that the trees are clapping hands. Nature was waiting for that. It changed everything. Easter changed everything. And that's why we're here. So if they don't worship, the stones will. What a picture, right? And so Pharisees, hey, come on. You're all aligned. No, they're not all aligned. Look. The Son of Man, the incarnation of God, is going to die as the Lamb of God to sponge away the sin of humanity. How can we stay quiet? It captivates our heart. It brings us to a place of surrender and celebration. Amen? And that's the call of the church. And this is what we're called to be, worshipers. Beyond the culture you're from. Has nothing to do from the culture you're from. Because now, if you're a believer, you're from the culture of heaven. I would ask you to stand. If you're here this morning and you are not walking with Jesus, you've walked away with Jesus, and maybe when I talked about guilt, you feel not legitimate or you don't feel that you can't come to Him, confess your sin. Just right now say, God, I give You my sin. Do it from your heart. And let Him embrace you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and earthly culture has controlled you for decades. culture of earth has defined you for decades, and you're not able to worship. You're not able to verbalize your worship. Take a step this morning, and in Jesus' name, it stops today. My culture is from heaven. I'm called to be a worshiper, and I want to stand in my role of being a worshiper because you are worthy. Because you're so good. Because you've done so much for me that I can't be quiet. Father, I just pray for the move of your Holy Spirit to bubble in our hearts for you. That your Holy Spirit would move in us to the point where we are bound in your presence, and where we acknowledge you, and we worship you, and we see you for who you are, the Lamb upon the throne. Yes, Lord, that we would not be indifferent, that we would not be preoccupied, that we would not be caught in the moment and forget this grand story of grace and how awesome you are. Let us be, Father, a people of worship. Let us be a people that unroll the red carpet for you. Let us be a people that open the doors for you to come in. Let us be a people that open the doors for others to connect and experience you on a personal level. Father, make us, and you've called us the priesthood of believers, those that are called to be worshipers and those that are called to give you fame and glory. So Father, we embrace you. We love on you. We love on you. There's no one like you, Father. Jesus, we worship you for what you've done. Holy Spirit, we surrender so that you would be able to glorify Jesus and the Father through our lives. We're thirsty for you. We long for you. And you're the best thing that ever happened to us. The greatest thing that ever happened to us, Lord, is when you reached us. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.